we were studying again, watching, this thing about watching, and I want to go to the Old Testament to give some context. Go to it's Luke 12:37, but let's go to Isaiah 62. There?
Yes.
For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace.
Now,
in Psalm 48, it talks about this. It said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the joy of the whole earth is this Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the city of the great king. And it's shrouded in a mystery so that you cannot see nor perceive the New Jerusalem with the eyes of your mind, or Gentile mind, because it's settled in eternity and it came down and is sitting over us now. The New Jerusalem is our overriding reality, and all of time is passing from the west gate into the it's going west to east. It's going the opposite of what everything in the universe is. And the only thing that can remain in that New Jerusalem is that which originated from the New Jerusalem. And that's why born again is a terrible translation. It should be born from above, or born from the first estate, or born from the beginning of beginnings. That's what born again should be translated as. Because he alone has immortality. He alone is your life. So he set watchmen. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And that's why Jesus called John the Baptist the burning lamp. But he's also called you to be a burning lamp. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezibah, which means God's delight is in you. And thy land shall be called Beulah, or married. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land, or thy being, shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy son marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Now, this next verse is critical. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Now let's go to Ezekiel 3. It's right after Isaiah. For all you Bible scholars. Ezekiel 3, starting in verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, there is no person that he hasn't set as a watchman. There's no believer that isn't a watchman. Now listen to what he says carefully. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Now, that's pretty intense. I'm not too sure I even want to know what it means. Does anybody believe this? Are you a watchman?
This may be what we were discussing in Bible study last night. Dang, it slipped out of my brain. You know what I'm talking about, Gary? Judy was talking about speaking, you know, to the person who has been sleeping with his father's wife. And there wasn't a clear explanation of what made them puffed up over this event. And yet, you know, if you combine it with this, it's that they didn't bother to warn this guy that he was in trouble for it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We talked about leaven last night.
Okay.
And where the man was sleeping with his father's wife, and the people didn't mourn, they didn't kick him out, they didn't.
That's the worst pronouncement that Paul ever made.
Yeah.
Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
In other words, you know, turn him over, but they didn't even consider that. You know, they just backed off.
Well, let me read that again. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy own soul. And when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thine own soul. Now, again, you can't do this until you understand it, until you see it. Otherwise, you just sit around in sloth. There's no zeal. And the reason there's no zeal is you haven't seen the futility of everything else. And because you haven't seen the futility of everything else, you can't really believe. You always got something else going on. Now, this is a pretty big indictment. Anybody have any response? Anybody else? Well, I just don't believe it. Well, lots of luck. What don't you believe? it means many things.
Like a guard?
It means always be prepared for that finality, so that your garment is never spotted by the flesh. But that's about you. This, the counter or the companion watch is to warn. I mean, they're both the duty of a watchman.
Also, obviously tied up into, you know, what prophecy truly means, you know, that something is there to be said, you say it, instead of stuffing it, which happens too often.
All right. Anybody else?
Is that not what we do around here? Is that part of the function of the body?
Well, but this is not talking about just the body. It's talking about everybody in your world. As you go into your world, make disciples. The problem is we try to have Gentile relationships with everybody, and it's as a watchman, all right, buddy, understand a little bit, at least to consider it.
Kind of like the question he asked, the watchman, what are you looking for? Whatever comes in from your view, or is there something you're looking for, iniquity in others? You're waiting for God to do something, watch it?
The only thing that you're waiting for, from the standpoint of what's concerned with you, is the end. And you're hasting it. But I'm talking about now, as the same watchman has a duty to others. If you don't warn, if you don't say anything, their blood will be required at your hand. Now, is this a to-do? No, it's a what is. Let's go to Jeremiah 7. Now, I'm just guessing now. I mean, don't write that down yet, Mr. Whoever's taking notes. Well, it's too late. Well, this isn't what I was going to talk about, but it's important. So let's, Jeremiah 7, verse 1. The word of the Lord, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Now, what does it mean? It's repeated three times. Say not, the temple of the Lord are these. The temple of the Lord are these. The temple of the Lord are these. What does that mean?
Trying to pin God down. Make men carry a burden.
But stop and think about it. What does it mean? What do we say the temple of the Lord is? Do we ever say that?
You say it's in us.
You say you are the temple.
Yeah.
Not in us. In other words, you can't say it's anything else. Every person, every man that's walking on the face of the on the earth is the temple of the Lord. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That alone is the temple of the Lord, of God. The temple of the Lord are these. It's not a building. It's not a church. It's a you. It's not the temple that has all of. It's the only. It's only the holy place. The holy place, which includes. It has what's in the holy place. It's naos, which means it's not the temple complex. It's just that inner temple. And in it are the outer part of it, the outer part of the inner temple are the candlesticks, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread. Then you go through the veil. But now we've got ready access because we've gone through the veil of his flesh, if you accept your death. So we have boldness to enter that throne of grace because that's our home now. We sit on the mercy seat. So, and if any man speak, let him speak as from the oracle of God, because that's where you are. You can't speak anything else, can't think anything else. You know, unless, I mean, if you think all this is a fairy tale, that's fine. I don't care. That's not my business. My business is to warn you.
Well, think of this in terms of the Christ saying, you're looking here for principles, and there are several kind of principles here. Do this, do that. It has a to-do overlay.
What?
What you've been talking about.
It has a to-do overlay?
Yeah.
Then I said it wrong.
You even brought that up yourself a few minutes ago. It sounds like a bunch of to-dos.
Then I've said it wrong. It's positional.
Let me finish.
All right.
And if you hear it through the Christ saying, you're looking for principles and how to get it right, but that's not the way. These are things that testify to me. And hearing it through that, he's the only one that can do these things. If we pick it up and say, well, we were told this morning that we better do this, and we'll go out and run by the Holy Spirit as it moves, warn, look, watch. We'll be doing it out of a convicted heart. And that's not your death. That's your trying to get it right self.
So then what happens if you're not doing it? Everything we talked about this morning.
Well, hopefully, you know, what's spoken of elsewhere where it says exhort one another daily while still called day takes place. You know, somebody pulls you up short. That's the watchman thing again, isn't it?
Well, I'm asking you, if you don't, if this isn't a to-do, then what do you do if you're not doing it?
Return to the rest, trust in God.
How about repent?
Return to the rest, that's repentance.
Yeah, but it's you've got to leave the place that you're justifying yourself from. That only way you leave that place is by bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance. Then in repentance, you're on the mercy seat. Then these things are happening as natural as breathing. But if you're not there, if these aren't the things that you are doing, it's the tell in the cosmic poker game that you're not, you haven't repented.
And they should bring you to repentance when you see this, hear this. Because you're convicted by the fact that you can't or don't do it, there's repentance.
But is there any way you can justify not doing it? But what? You have to have some transaction.
So you die. You see your death. You see the fruitlessness of your efforts.
Because what you have seen, something is transpiring. And what's transpiring is that the garment, this is God's way of showing you the garment is spotted by the flesh. Now there has to be some urgency here. That's part and parcel of watchmen.
Thing, the only thing I can feel urgent about is whether I need to repent or not. After that, you know, even being the watchman, it's up to God to see it, and it's up to me to speak it when I see it.
All right, let's go on. Let's go back to Luke.
Generate it between each other. You don't make it in yourself.
All right. Luke 12. Well, let's finish Luke 32. 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down at meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so blessed, and find them so blessed are these servants. Now the watches are the watches of the night. And the third watch, there's four watches. There used to be three, but very early on, before the New Testament was written, they changed it to four watches. The first watch is from sunset to 9 p.m. The second watch is from 9 to midnight. The third watch is from midnight to 3. And the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to sunrise, or about 6 p.m., or 6 a.m. Now, every time it talks about, if I remember correctly, when it talks about the Lord coming as a thief in the night, it means, and he's always talking about he's coming in this, in the night. A thief in the night, a thief in the night, a thief in the night. He's coming in the second watch or the third watch. Now what happens? What's going on? What's going on at night? You're asleep for the most part, except for the watchmen. There's guys that are doing stuff all of the watches. You know, we've said so often that what's going on out the outside of you and what you show the world really is meaningless, except for this idea of being a watchman. But the real thing that God is looking at is what's going on inside you. And so that inside, you know, if it's just the inside work of a Gentile, then there's something kind of strange, because it's something isn't operating. One of the things that Harry used to get most mad at me about is when I said you were responsible for your dreams. And the reason is that the dream is just a reflection of for the most part of it's trying to get into stasis or a state of rest, evenness of the things that are going on inside you versus outside, and they try, you know, tries to bring them to some kind of rest or some kind of, and that's why dream interpretation can get so wild, because from a spiritual standpoint, every actor in the dream was an aspect of you. But the idea that he would come in the night, and how will he find you? Will he find the linen as your only covering, as your only clothing, the white, the pure linen white, with no spots by the flesh? I mean, that's a big deal. That's why I said, many are called and few are chosen. The way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower. It's not getting broader and broader and broader. It's getting narrower and narrower and narrower. Now, and the perfect example is the idea that we've talked about many times about what happens at the end when everything in the universe has to pass through a dot that's smaller than our eye can see. That's what this end will be. And the whole idea then, it should be an urgency within you to see and repent. It's a constant repentance. It's not a constant saying, I'm sorry. That's the repentance of the world. It's a repentance not to be repented of. It's a repentance that says, this world, this thing called me, this everything that I can perceive with the senses is just a brute beast, the response of a brute beast. No matter how smart I think I am, I'm still a brute beast from God's standpoint. And if we're still giving breath to the same old, same old, same old, if we're still saying, we're still loving the world because... remember, love just means give importance to, then there's got to be some transaction. Now, we'd love to say, okay, let's put yourself in the state of Noah. If I'm right, and the world had never seen rain before that, and he's telling him it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's building this monster boat. Everybody thought he was nuts.
Until it started raining.
Until it started raining.
They've never seen rain, have they?
No. Because the world before the flood was engulfed in the cloud cover all over the world. And that was anyway, that's another story. But As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were marrying and giving in marriage, or going about doing their little shtick. A lot of them probably thought they were believers. But it was only, if I'm correct about this, and I think I am, it was only the ones that their seed hadn't been mixed with this sons of Anakim. And so here we have, it's illegal to plant different seeds in the same area, the same field. You know that. That's what the law says. And it's the reason is we can't have the seed of Adam and the seed of Christ in the same field. So the whole idea of sanctification, other than my stupid description of getting the salt out of the salt shaker, the pepper out of the salt shaker, the whole idea is to make sure that the field, you as a field, that there's no mixture of the seed of Adam with the seed of Christ. And the only way that can mix with the seed of Christ, can mix with the seed of Adam, is by using your mind for something. That was the basis of the fall. So this is why, all this fits together. It's why I said take no thought. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to do. Take no thought for your life in any way. And then it says if you take no thought for the least of the things, then what? You can't take thought for the rest. And so as I see this, everything is about this idea of seeing the emptiness and futility of life. So that you can truly, when you say that, when I say or we say that the human race died in the cross, then we can really be mortified with that. We understand it because we understand the futility and emptiness of our lives and the human lives of the human race. If you don't understand that, then repentance can't happen. You can think you repented. But repentance produces emptiness. Emptiness to the point of a vacuum. And everything, every aspect of your life is solely dependent on Him. No returning to cause and effect. No anything. Just divorce yourself from this thing. Mind and emotion. Thoughts and feelings. Then this stuff will make sense. But if not, you're trying to live in two worlds. All right, anybody else? Anybody understand what I just said? Anybody want to disagree with it? Well, they're generated out of your mind.
Well, thoughts, intents, heart, mind.
No, heart's different. Heart means the cardia, it means the inner man, that new man.
Well, it says intents of the heart, I believe. Thoughts and intents of the heart is the where you're motivated, what you're driven to do.
Let's get into that tomorrow then, okay? We'll get into that. Watchfulness has to have as a component the taking, casting down imaginations, bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Right.
That's where
that's the watchman part for self. but it's also, I think it's inward and outward, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's both.
Yeah.
All right, take a big guy.